Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Sofitove Institute Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host. Welcome to the Sofitove Radio Hour. Sofitove Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. Your station for self-realization. Maybe some of you saw our announcement for today's show. We have a guest on today's show. And for me, our guest is a stand for self-realization. We talk a lot about in the Sofitove environment, the Sofitove seminars, different paradigms of life, have, do, be, do, have, be. And these paradigms are based on consciousness and where's our consciousness. And that ultimately, essentially, the ideal paradigm for spirit and self-awareness is be, do, have, where our paradigm starts with being. That, which that means is that our experience of power and radiance and contentment and peace and balance is not dependent on what we're doing or having. And then from that place of being, it's not like it's a boring life where we don't do things or have things, that naturally if I'm being the powerful, trusting, compassionate person that I am, I'm going to do things that powerful, trusting, and compassionate people do and have the results of that, such as respect and satisfying relationships and abundance flowing in my life. Be, do, have, self-realization. We speak about leadership. Leadership being not being a position or a title, not intrinsically. It might manifest as a position or a title. Leadership is a choice. Leadership also is a way of being. And for me, our guest today exemplifies these principles, embodies these principles about leadership as a way of being, as an inspiring way of being. Be, do, have, Sofitove Institute, spiritually based personal and group transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Our guest on the Sofitove Radio Hour today, for me, is a wonderful, inspiring example of spiritually based empowered communication, willing to do his personal work, courageous introspection that manifests as purposeful action in his life, in his family, in his community. I'm honored to introduce to the listeners of the Sofitove Radio Hour a close friend of mine and a natural leader and someone who for me embodies the principles of transformative communication. And that's Dr. Sajan Allen. Dr. Sajan Allen, welcome to the Sofitove Radio Hour.
Thank you, David. Thanks for bringing me here. I'm honored by your introduction, and it makes me want to challenge myself to be exactly how you introduced me.
Thank you. And Dr. Allen is a dentist in Ocala. Now, it's possible that not everyone, like in the villages of Switzerland or Norway, or people listening to the Sofitove Radio Hour from Bombay or Argentina, it's possible that not everyone knows what is Ocala. Actually, Ocala is a thriving metropolis south of Alachua. We're right now in the Sofitove studios We're in the Sofitov Studios in Alachua, Florida on 441, Route 441. And if you keep going down 441 past Gainesville, you keep going down 441, you'll eventually get to Ocala. And it's a beautiful town. I don't know if it's somewhere between a town and a city like Gainesville. And Sajan is a dentist in Ocala, residing here in Alachua with his wife KB and his two children, a son and a daughter. Sajan, what would you like our listeners to know and understand about you?
Well, David, one thing, first of all, why don't we, you know me as a friend, and my nickname is Gora. My mother called me that growing up, so you just call me Gora. As far as what do I want the listeners to know? One thing that just comes to mind is how much, you know, I'm not trying to be as an infomercial for Sopotov, but about how much Sopotov has impacted my life over the past 3 years. And over the past 3 years is how I've dove into Sopotov and personal transformation, self-realization, and having you and Marie and the Sopotov community has been a huge support for transforming my life. So that's one thing I want to acknowledge and let the listeners know how powerful this transformation can be through Sopotov.
Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that hearing, and we've talked about this regularly over the years. I invite you to express more. The principles you imbibed, your experiences, your realizations from the Sofitov programs, how have they impacted you? How have they made a difference for you?
You know, there's the way I see it, there's so many different roles that we play, well, that I play in my life. You introduced me as a dentist, as a husband, as a father, as a leader in the community, different roles that I play. And, you know, I could go out and read a book on each one of them, mm-hmm. or take a seminar on each role and try to perfect them. And but stepping back from that and working on my essential spirit, on the essential qualities of who I am, has allowed me to see more clearly what those roles really mean for me, and therefore just naturally embody those roles or go into those roles without confusion, without with more of a sense of purpose. Yeah, like that.
Okay. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Because sometimes we do. Sometimes we do maybe even special workshops or special coaching on parenting or couples or money management. And those things have value. And that's there for you. What I'm hearing that in your Sofitov experience, that it's that first word in our mission statement, spiritually based. That when that spiritual core is attended to and nourished and nurtured, that it's not that we ignore or don't need to pay attention to the other things, but what I mean is that they automatically click into place, just as an example we use when we water the root of a tree. All of the branches and leaves are automatically nourished. So what I'm hearing is all the roles you play, whether in your work, your career, your finances, your relationships, your parenting, friendships, all areas of your life are automatically nourished. And for me, it's very encouraging to hear that you're getting that spiritual nourishment through that Sofitov environment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say that. I'm sure people can argue whether I've been the perfect father or the perfect wife, I'm sorry, husband, or whatever. But like you said, watering that tree, working working on the spirit, working on myself as spirit, not as matter, and nourishing that spiritual aspect has been the key. Has been the key to the joy that I feel in my life now, to the peace, to the relationships. Like you've written a book, Relationships That Work.
Yes, yes.
And you know, a lot of times when I give that to people as a gift, let's say, they think it's about couples relationships.
Yeah,
that's
the
first thing that pops up.
Right.
But really, it's about everything is a relationship.
Hmm.
Whether it's a relationship with your wife, with your children, with your coworkers, with your community, but then even with yourself, with your my relationship with my car, in a sense, like
yeah.
my driving relationship, my everything is a relationship, actually, in one sense. And I feel like your book, for instance, or books dealing with that are really dealing with the core aspect of how we relate to the world, how we relate to people, how we relate to spirit.
Thanks for sharing that, Gora. And this is the Soft Dough Radio Hour. We're speaking with Dr. Sajan Allen, a dentist in Ocala, residing in Alachua. And we're referring to him as Gora, which is how I know Gora. It's what his mother called him, and so we're going to call him Gora. And the saying, we're not essentially human beings having a spiritual experience. Yeah, I'm a human being, and sometimes I get the spiritual, that we're spiritual beings having a human experience. We might sometimes forget that. And that self-realization is that process of uncovering so that more and more steadily we're experiencing ourselves as spiritual beings, acting through a human experience. And that spiritual core, as we said right at the introduction to the show, that's really what we mean by be, do, have. Myself, I've never quite understood be, do, have without understanding that we're spiritual beings. Then what is that being? Is it a bag of chemicals? I mean, yes. Spiritual essence and that along with communication skills and relationship. And actually, the title of our book, Relationships That Work, The Power of Conscious Living, How Transformative Communication Can Change Your Life. I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but I did not choose that title. I did not like that title. And the title was chosen by the publisher. And that sounds a little impersonal. I'm not exactly sure who at the publisher. And now it's well, several years, almost, about 4 years later, I give them credit. I give them credit. I didn't like the title. I rejected it. And they persuaded me. I had other titles, which I do like the other titles. But relationship, because I know people would get the impression, oh, that means couples. That means couples. And if couples read this book, I know they'll get value. I know they'll get immense value. Amazing value. So, yeah, it's about enhancing couples' relationships. At the same time, I didn't write it primarily for that. I didn't write it. I wrote it for as a communication-based approach to self-realization. And, of course, whether we're in couples or the boss and the employee or landlord and tenant, that if to the extent that we're self-realized, there's going to be fulfilling, peaceful relationships. At the same time, just as you were saying, Gore, that's what I came to realize as I was in that conversation with the publisher about the title. This is about our relationship with God, our relationship with spirit, our relationship with abundance, our relationship with sexuality, our relationship with money, our relationship with our spouse, our relationship with our children. That, yeah, we're persons, we're sentient beings, and relationship is there. Relationship is there. We live in a cave. We have a relationship with the cave. So we're relating. And since I've known you, Gore, and you've talked about your Soft Dough experience over the past 3 years, I know we started in coaching a little over 3 years ago. A few years before that, you were in the foundational seminar. We actually know each other for about more than 18 years. We go back. And I've always been moved and impressed by your intrinsic, I'll call it spirituality, in our blurb, in our announcement to our database. I mentioned I mentioned about some of your background. As I said, that you were a Vaishnava from birth. And I mentioned that you're a accomplished kirtanier in Bhajani. And you know what, Gaura? I know that the vast majority of our database doesn't know what a Vaishnava is, and they don't know what a kirtanier is, and they don't know what a bhajanier is, and they don't know what Vrindavan is. And I did that on purpose. So maybe there's, if there's something you want to say about that.
Gosh, yeah, there's a lot of information to go over there. Analyze each one of those words. Yeah, a Vaishnava. I'm sure you could define a Vaishnava better than me, David. But
I brought you here for that.
A Vaishnava, what I understand it means, just basically, on the most basic level, means a follower of Vishnu, a servant of Vishnu, or a devotee, as we might call a devotee of Vishnu. And there can be a whole discussion on what that means and the depth of that.
Yes,
I was fortunate, I feel very fortunate, to have been born to parents who were Vaishnavas, who raised me as a Vaishnava. And I was born here in New York, actually, in the United States. And then I was brought over to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is, most people don't know where Vrindavan is in India, but if people understand where Delhi is, the capital, New Delhi, you go a few miles south. You know how many miles south? I think it's, I don't know, 6 kilometers south or something.
It used to be a four-hour, torturous, bumpy ride. Now they have a sort of highway, and it's less than 2 hours.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's a little, well, it was a little village. Now it's growing in popularity as far as tourism. And, yeah, I attended a boarding school there where it was a boys' boarding school where we were under the care of teachers. And my parents lived there, though.
Yeah.
I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
And but I would live in the boarding school with my roommates, my classmates, and we would, from the beginning, we'd wake up early in the morning. You know, I was 6 years old when I joined the one in Vrindavan, and would wake up, you know, 4 a.m. and do regular spiritual worship and discussions about philosophy.
4 a.m. We have many listeners, when they heard you say that, they winced. They winced in pain.
How could a six-year-old be woken up at 4 a.m? Yeah, don't worry. We would go to sleep very early. And, you know, people have had different experiences going to the boarding schools in India. My personal experience was very joyful.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on it with fond memories of the friendships that I forged at that time. And the relationships that were made that I still have today, now, as far as the teachers, as far as the students, so my friends that were there.
Overall, it was sweet and endearing and spiritually enriching.
Very spiritually enriching because, you know, one principle that you talked about, David, with me personally, and I know with the groups that we've done group transformation with you, is this concept of austerity. Austerity leading to... actually greater pleasure or greater transcendence.
Mm.
And, you know, we went through some rigorous austerities living in India, living in Vrindavan, living in a boarding school. At the same time, I look back and my character is a certain way right now because of those austerities. And I feel very grateful having gone through that experience. Yeah. So
austerities, it means consciously, voluntarily, giving up a lower pleasure, and it's just like a lower pleasure could be going to the bar and drinking with the guys. There's a pleasure there. Sometimes giving up a lower pleasure, not just to suffer and bang our head against the wall and try to be spiritual, to get a higher enjoyment. The purpose of austerity is enjoyment, and it's based on a realization that there's a deeper, higher enjoyment than, let's just say, super superficial gratification of the senses or even the mind or even the intellect. The spirit is even more subtle than the intellect. And what I'm hearing is that from a very young age, the principle and the culture of austerity for genuinely divine spiritual purposes was inculcated into you, and you're deeply grateful for that.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't say that it was always me volunteering to do it, but I look back fondly because it takes discipline to get anything in life. I mean, you were talking about giving up lower gratification for higher spiritual principles, but even the concept of an athlete, an Olympic athlete training, I mean, they have to give up so much to be disciplined, to train, to get what they want, to get that gold medal and that gratification of accomplishment. Anything can be seen as an austerity, waking up early to go to work every day and be on time.
to get a college degree, to run a
exactly.
business. People are sacrificing.
All the time.
They're sacrificing that week at the beach. They're sacrificing that night out with friends in order for the business to be successful. So the principle is there in any accomplishment, material or spiritual.
Exactly. It's there. It's there all the time. So, I mean, I remember when I came to the States, and it was very easy for me to be very disciplined in my school. People would ask me, oh, how are you able to study, you know, how are you able to do whatever? And it's just, I don't know, it just was natural for me. It was easy for me, in a sense. I'm grateful for that experience of Australia.
It was there as a child, and then you're applying that in so many fields, so many areas of your life, this principle of joyful austerity. And now it is voluntary. I can understand. When you were 7 years old, maybe it wasn't all voluntary.
Yeah. Now, absolutely, it's voluntary. And now my mind, of course, plays games, and as I'm sure all minds do. Even Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that you quote often, David, about how the mind is restless and it's very hard to control. And so I deal with that regularly. But the principle of austerity, to remember how we do get a greater pleasure, actually, in giving up some immediate gratification is always there in my mind, is always there for me to remember, and I can go back to it as far as the experience that I've had over my life.
Thanks for sharing about that. And all right, so that touches a drop of a drop in the ocean about Vaishnav and Vrindavan. I know, for example, Gaura, you've spearheaded inspiration and shown hands-on leadership for so many projects, many of which I've not been real involved in, but I just have been inspired to know about them. Things like Village of Vrindavan, or more recently, Festival of the Holy Name. These are projects that I know locally, and I'm confident to say worldwide to a meaningful extent, have inspired the self-realization of many, many people of your generation, young adults, late 20s, 30s, or teens, and like that, and of all generations. These projects, so many projects, you've really been, you know, yeah, it's like, you know, I don't remember the quote exactly, but some Chinese philosopher, something, different types of leaders, and there's tyrants and this and that, and they're like a really spiritually advanced leader, you sort of don't even notice him. And I sort of experience you like that, that I know you're giving your 100%, and you're effective, purposeful action, courageous introspection, sensitive, empathic, yet bold communication, and you're creative, and you're making things happen in so many ways, and in so many tangible ways, and inspirational ways. At the same time, a lot of people tend not to notice you. And so I'm noticing that. And so if you'd like to speak about, you were also the in capital letters, the driving force behind the Satvatov Summit last year, Festival of the Holy Name this year, Village of Vrindavan, which is an ongoing annual spiritual project in North Florida. Maybe you'd like to speak about some of these.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. I got to first of all, acknowledge who I work with, all the other inspired leaders who I work with.
It's a team that
I'm very grateful to be part of. Many of them who have been through Sattva Tov actually as well. And so through that communication, we're able to stay even keeled and work through different challenges. For example, a especially close friend of mine and yours is Govinda Sire. And he's been very inspirational to me. And it's been just so much fun working with him. And actually, this past Festival of the Holy Name, there was a few of us gathered, and we were all just saying, I'm not doing anything. It's you who are doing everything. And we were really feeling that. Like, it was actually an easy festival to put on because we felt like everybody else was taking up the work. So it's just a really special team that we have here and we've created here. And like you said, we've maybe only superficially impacted our community here in North Florida, but practically through the internet, it's affecting all over the world. But I see it also just on a conscious level, on the spiritual level. And it is impacting and will impact the world more and more, these different projects that we're doing. You know, you mentioned the most recent one was the Festival of the Holy Name. And even in my blurb, you mentioned Kirtanir or Bhajanir as a way to introduce me. Those kind of go along with each other. There's a term kirtan, and kirtan, the way I see it, is when groups of people come together to call out the names of the divine, the names of God, which spiritually connect us at that time to the divine. And we feel a spiritual inspiration when we are performing kirtan. So, you know, a kirtanir is anybody who's performing kirtan. For the Festival of the Holy Name, we actually did kirtan for 9 days. And for 2 specific days, which was the actual summit of the festival, it was 12 hours of kirtan straight. And by the end of the festival, we had people of all ages, generations, races, sexes, just experiencing so much bliss, so much transcendental, or so much spiritual emotion that was very beautiful to see. I mean, I don't think I saw so many smiling faces as I did during that festival. And people of any religion could join in. It's not a religious thing. It's a spiritual activity that even persons of other faith came and observed. And it was stated afterward. They stated that they were surprised that there was a spiritual experience happening that wasn't part of their religion. But it was eye-opening for them to see that there is a spiritual experience there. So we impacted many people and many lives, and hope to continue it. We want to bring joy to the world. We want to bring peace to the world. And by actually invoking the names of God, invoking the names of the divine in this special way, in this reverential way, in a humble mood, but also with a sense of connection with other living entities, with other people, it brings about so much joy and happiness. So that was one project, and that goes along with Kirtanir. Bhajanir is similar. Bhajan is more like if we sit down by ourselves and want to chant on our own to God within our heart, to God on our altar, if we have an altar in our sanctuary. Bhajan is more personal, I feel. It's more quiet. It's more of a quiet time. And then even deeper than that is japa, which you may have talked on before, where it's without music, instruments, and it's just invoking the names of God internally. To me, the invoking the names of God is like the highest process in this age. But without the background of the wanting to clear away the impure, the illusion within our heart, specifically working on ourselves and our personal work, it's not as effective. In my experience, it's not as effective because we can be chanting the names of God for perverted reasons, for reasons for recognition, as an example. So for doing it for the right reason and working on ourselves to clear away what's the illusion within our heart is a beautiful thing, and that's what Sattva Tov has done for me.
Thanks for that, Gore. Yeah, we talk about the process of pulling the weeds. And I'd even quote spiritual activities like chanting divine names or meditation or yoga or prayer. Even those, if we don't pull the weeds, that metaphor comes from Rupa Goswami, a saint from the Middle Ages, from Bengal, that the metaphor is we're watering the garden, the flower of devotion and love and spirituality. But in any garden, if we don't spend sufficient time pulling the weeds, then the water goes to the weeds, and the weeds ultimately will strangle that creeper, the flower of devotion. And so even apparently spiritual activities, it can become, if I'm not pulling the weeds, each mantra I chant, each meditation, each spiritual book I read, each verse I memorize can reinforce how great I am. And not just how great I am, but how much better I am than you and these people. And then that arrogance and that false pride, like I'm stopped. My spiritual life is stuck no matter how many mantras I'm chanting. So, yeah, we focus a lot on that in the Safatova environment. The process to pull the weeds so that the water of the divine names and all spiritual process fully nourish the flower of devotion. You're listening to the Safatova Radio Hour. This is David Wolf, your host, with our guest, Dr. Sajan Allen from Alachua, a dentist in Ocala, also known as Gora. You're listening to the Safatova Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. If you'd like to be on the show through chat, if you'd like to call on the show, the number is 805-285-9749. If you call in, you want to be on the show, press 1. If you have a question for Gora or something you want to share, something maybe you want to challenge Gora or myself. Maybe you have some severe criticism for one or both of us. That's what we're here for. Maybe you want to share some realization or ask a question. The number again, 805-285-9749. This is the Safatova Radio Hour.
Thank you, Gohal. And I really appreciate having a guest today in our studio. And you know, like David said earlier, you're not anyone. You're someone who's really inspiring. You know, by your life, by what you do in your life, how you lead your life. There is so many parts of your life that's really inspiring. I know personally, I get so much inspiration just knowing you. And there's an aspect of your life that maybe you know our listener like want to hear about. It's like, okay, we said earlier how we are spirits all having a human experience. And as part of your human experience, you're a dentist. And you know, and I know all, you know, like you're a spiritual leader, you organize kirtan, you do chanting and all those things. You train in Vrindavan, and you're a dentist. So I'd like to hear about that part of your life too.
Okay. Sure, why not? Let's talk about being a dentist. I want to give thanks to my father for encouraging me to be a professional of some sort. He, you know, in the Vaishnav tradition, even in the school that I grew up in the boarding school I was talking about in Vrindavan, it's very much encouraged to leave a very simple life, and that almost very bare necessities of life. That's all you need to live and just work on your spiritual life. And at the same time, my father encouraged me to be a professional for many reasons. And so being a dentist, we can go into the practical reasons as why I chose dentistry, but one of the best reasons is I don't have to work at odd hours of the night like a doctor. I'm not on call. I mean, people call me, but I call them back and pretty much see them the next day. So it's usually not a life-threatening thing when people are calling with an emergency. I can call in some antibiotics and some pain prescriptions and alleviate them for a few hours until the next day. The interesting thing about being a dentist is I'm working with people. I'm not working on teeth. In dental school, we learn all about the teeth. We learn all about the the anatomy of the teeth and the mouth and all that, and the very gross physical material matter aspect. But even if you take continuing education, all the dentists say treat the person as a person. Okay, they're a person. What does that mean? And that, again, brings us back to spirit greater than matter. And so the spiritual aspect, it's very enlivening to work with people, for people. Every case is different. I'm not looking at, you know, number two molar with a distal decay. Okay, needs a composite filling. No, I'm looking at a person who's scared of the needle, who maybe there are just so many different challenges, both emotionally but also physically. Each one is different. It's, no person is just a machine. You know, no, even though the body is a machine. It's not
so you're endeavoring to be attuned, to be deeply empathic with what's gone on for the person. This is not just another machine who's sitting in this chair. To be deeply attuned, empathic with, is this person having a good day? Is this person terrified? Is this person mistrusting? And that's what I'm hearing. And for me, it's fascinating to hear you speak about that aspect, your personal relationship connection in the role of dentistry.
Absolutely. I mean, because, you know, honestly, the work that I do, a patient, can come in, and they will have no idea the difference between the filling that I do or a dentist down the street. But if I take care of them as a person and make them feel comfortable as a person, then they want to come back. And I feel more fulfilled. I mean, if I just fix a tooth or if I fix teeth all day, that can get kind of boring after a while. I mean, I worked before high school even, or in high school, I worked in a daylily field where I was digging up plants all day. And then afterwards, we would package them in the evening and in the afternoon, we would send them out. It was a mail order flower business. And doing the same thing every day got really boring. I have to say my job is not boring.
each day, you've been doing it for many years, but it's not feeling routine.
Oh, it's not routine at all.
Because every person is different. Every consciousness has different aspects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn as far as, you know, the physical gross nature of the dentistry, the treatment itself. There's so much to learn, but then what makes it amazing is what I said is the interactions with people and the relationships that are formed every day, all day at work. So you know, I strive more and more to give joy to people, to bring peace to people, to, you know, I'm not just fixing their tooth. I'm making them feel, hopefully, some spiritual connection even, to where they feel more in tune with themselves or with spirit in general. Yeah.
Thanks for that, Cora. My conviction is that anyone who comes into your office, whether they're aware of it or not, they're getting an experience of communication-based self-awareness, self-realization. They're getting some higher awareness of themselves as spiritual beings, different from their body. And I love that vision, not just as a dream. When I say vision, I mean your vision is something practically realizing, step by step, as opposed to a dream where at night I dream about this, but then I wake up and the vision of that, sure, there could certainly are, you know, those who are let's say, in monasteries or temples, and they're uplifting the spiritual consciousness of the world. And my vision is that there are and meant to be increasingly construction workers sharing transformative communication, elevating the spiritual consciousness of the world, everyone they come into contact with, and by ripple effect, hundreds and thousands and millions of others, and farmers, and entrepreneurs, and college professors, and dentists. And that, and so I appreciate the inspiration that in your profession, that what I'm hearing, that your spirituality, your Vaishnavism, it's not about you go to church on Sunday and pray really hard to God. It's not a separate compartment. That authentic spirituality, it's a way of being. It's a way of being that, to the extent that we're realized there, it infuses how we are in being a dentist. It infuses in how we coach. It infuses in how we eat. It infuses in how we are with our family. It infuses in what we do in recreation, of if we're a farmer, how we do farming. Thanks for sharing that, Gaur. Would you like, for I just did this, you said earlier, you made a comment earlier about, you said something about kirtan and bhajan. It's not religion, it's a spiritual process. What's your understanding of the distinction between religion and spirituality? Distinction and relationship between?
It's almost like nowadays religion is a bad word or something.
Yeah.
I find that a lot. Oh, you're religious. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's like,
and shake my head in disapproval.
Yeah, it's like it's a term of denigration.
Yeah. At the same time, and on the flip side, spirituality is considered very elevated, very, very touching.
Appreciated.
Appreciated.
Very, very popular term.
Yes, very popular to be spiritual and not religious, openly not religious. But I think they're very much related. I mean, even at the end of the Gita, right, Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, give up all varieties of religion. So that's it's a very popular thing to just give up religion.
That's the prime Vaishnav text, the Gita. And so, is that a religion?
Yeah.
Well, actually, the conclusive instruction is give up all religion.
Yeah, exactly. Give up all religion. But then Sri Krishna says, and Krishna is the divine. He is the absolute person. And he says, but just surrender unto me. So what does that surrender look like? Or if I'm chanting the names of God, why is that spiritual and not religious? So in my understanding, spirituality is that internal journey of the soul, that internal process that I'm working on, that you're working on, David, that you're working on, Marie, about, you know, who am I? What am I? What is the nature of my spirit? It's very uplifting to connect with a spiritual process. And so there are processes that are recommended authoritatively coming down that are considered spiritual practices, such as meditation you're better at the examples. And when someone follows a set of spiritual practices, it's called a religion. I mean, just naturally, it's just... So the religion is almost you talked at the beginning of the show about be, do, have, be, like that.
Yes.
In a way, the spirituality is the be part, okay? I want to be spiritual. I am spiritual. I am a spirit soul. And then the do part of it, which flows naturally, there has to be a do part, is the religious, quote-unquote religious aspect. It's the practice. It's the actual action being performed in relation to your spirituality. I mean, someone could be at a club, at a bar, and be having a spiritual experience. But if someone is considering themselves spiritual on a spiritual path, and they're doing something of a spiritual practice that's considered religious, let's say going to a temple and meditating, or going to a church and praying, that's a religious practice, and they're probably getting more spiritual benefit out of that if it's coming from a place of genuine desire to uncover their spirituality. Yeah. So they're like, we do have, I remember Marie telling me how we can try to just be, but it's not practical. We're on a human journey. So we have to do. We have to. So it's be, do. They're connected. So we can just be spiritual. Well, what does that mean? How does that manifest in our lives? And that's the religion that we follow, whatever it is.
Yeah, what's that being look like? Yeah. Yes, it's the nature of spirit is to be active. And so in one sense, there's being and doing. Same thing, they're simultaneous. In one sense, there's no distinction. Simultaneously, there's a distinction. And then reflecting on what you're saying, yeah, it's like that religious practice, you know, it's like it's intended to intensify our experience of spirituality, our spiritual, our connection with God. And then the problem comes when then we don't see the forest through the trees. And then we're doing religious stuff, but spirituality is not happening because we're not pulling the weeds in the heart, and we just became attached to the doing. We just became attached to the doing and how it looks. And then in that sense, even a religious practice can become a stumbling block. That's another phrase from the Bhagavad Gita, a stumbling block on the genuine path of self-realization. And sure, that someone could be wherever, at the club or driving in your car, not doing anything manifestly religious, at the same time connecting with a godly spiritual experience. So as we don't want to blindly follow some religious practice I'm following now without embracing the spiritual essence. At the same time, neither is it a virtue to blindly, oh, that's religion. No, I'm not into that. I reject that. We blindly reject that. Whereas that could actually, if I embrace that practice, that could actually enhance my spirituality. Why we reject it just because religion has a bad name these days?
Yeah, out of fashion. Yeah, as you were speaking, I'm thinking about also how there was a study done. Okay, I can't quote the study or when it was or who, but I remember hearing it on the news about how people who are religious have better lives, lead better lives. So from a material standpoint, religion has its place. It has its place as far as, you know, people of faith, people who have faith in something higher than themselves, they maybe relate to other human beings better, or they have a certain character that attracts prosperity in their life.
Yes.
Because they are religious. At the same time, that's a religion that's caught a bad name, I think. That religious aspect of just doing, and not for the purpose of real spiritual upliftment.
Dharma artha, kama moksha, dharma poja, koitavitra. That's described in one of these Vaishnava books about somewhat koitavita dharma, that ultimately religion's meant for that developing true self-realization, love for God. Much of religion is really directed towards economic development or a higher level of sense gratification. And it works.
It works.
You know, a series of studies, I quote in the courses sometimes, because my doctoral dissertation was on the effects of mantra chanting on stress, depression, and other mental health indicators, verbal aggressiveness, sattva, rajas, tamas. And so I looked at the whole empirical research on suicide and spirituality and mental health. And there's an abundance of evidence showing that those with more religiosity and spirituality in their beliefs and activities have less of a chance to actually commit suicide, even when they control for social factors. Like, because sometimes someone's going to say, oh, that's just because people who are spiritual, they go to church more, so they have more friends. But it's not really. But even when they control for that, still that's there. And so, and interestingly, that in depression clinics, in like suicide assessment scales, questions about one's religiosity and spirituality are conspicuous by their absence. Because scientifically speaking, there should be questions about that, because the more we know, the more we can assess the risk of suicide. But because there's such a dogma, there's such a dogma against that in academia, they don't have it. Because the herd of independent minds that constitute academia have determined, no, we're against that in a dogmatic way. They're against dogma in a dogmatic way. Don't get me going here. Okay, so, so it works. It works that through religiosity, spirituality, our economic development might be enhanced and our quality of sense gratification might be enhanced through some sort of austerity and like that. At the same time, if that's where our religious attempts stop, and it's a sort of cheating, because the real goal is that genuine cultivation of spirituality, love of God, and so I appreciate hearing you speak about this.
Thank you. As you were speaking, even then, I was thinking about how I feel in Vaishnav tradition, if you want to call it a religion, embraces other religions and acknowledges them more than any other quote unquote religion. And one reason religion has a bad name is I'm better than you.
Sectarianism.
And then therefore fighting between the religious groups and killing each other and Vaishnav tradition, that it's really not there. Genuine Vaishnav tradition is open to serving God on an authorized path, whatever path that is, and coming to a real realization within the path and being very accepting and loving of other traditions.
But it entails a rigorous to the extent we want to embrace it, a rigorous process of self-realization that is wonderfully accommodating and universal. Nothing sectarian about it.
Right.
There's a place for everyone in that scientific process of self-realization. And I guess I hear your
yeah, that's it.
I've appreciated your presence on the show and your diverse contributions, Gora. Diverse contributions, and for me, it's been special for your personality to be expressed here on the Sokotobe Radio Hour. You're listening to the Sokotobe Radio Hour. Our guest, Dr. Sajan Allen, also known as Gora. Gora, let's say someone
out of high school, late teens, maybe 20 years old, is asking you for guidance about creating a balanced, healthy, spiritually based life as a spiritual being, unfolding a human experience. And you know, you're at a bus stop with them. You have about 2 minutes. What might you share with them?
You talk about my brother?
Well, if you approach him, then you can.
Well, with him, it's easy to have a relationship with him. So I can spend more than 2 minutes at a bus stop.
Yeah. It's someone who obviously trusts and respects you sufficiently to approach you about that. at the same time. Yeah, maybe not your brother, but someone who's interested and eager, whatever wisdom you want to share.
Hmm. Well, obviously it's easy to answer. Well, let me find out where they're at. Find some common ground as to what they understand and realize, what authority they trust. But one thing I would encourage someone, as I encourage my brother, is to realize that he is a spiritual being and find out what that means. Find out your, live in the question of who am I? With that comes trusting your experience. Trusting your experience and being able to communicate that experience to others allows you to understand your own experience better. And so, as much as there's different religious practices and processes, real self-realization, it's right there in the word, self-realization, is realizing who I am. Mm. And trusting that the experience that I have in a certain religious practice or material practice, whatever it is, trusting that experience and relating it to the ultimate goal of becoming free of material designation. And what does it mean to be a spiritual being?
Experiencing our experience. When I'm hearing that, it's like, you know, it's powerful guidance. Experiencing means it's just like not making it right or wrong, good or bad. Experiencing our experience, and that through that process, we're coming closer and closer each minute. Because it's not like, okay, I've realized myself as a spiritual being, that's it, I've done it. Okay, it's finished. It's a spirit is endless. The nature of spirit is to expand. It's infinite. And so we always get to experience ourselves as spiritual beings at deeper and more profound dimensions and levels. So experience our experience, whether it's right, wrong, approved, disapproved, we get rejected, we get accepted. Trusting my experience, that's enough. It's more than enough. It's more than okay. That's who I am. In fact, anything else is a facade. Experience my experience, and then I like the phrase you use, communicating. Myself, communicating my experience so that others get it.
Yeah. I think that's the first step. That to me is key.
Thanks for sharing that. And for me that sounds so relevant, well, for me, and for all of us. And it's actually, if we're thinking of someone out of high school, 17, 18 years old, high school, it's so much about image. It's so much about whatever I'm experiencing, I better present myself this way, and I better present myself that way, and I better not wear that, even though I actually happen to like that. And I better not be into that, but let me be into that sort of music so I can be with this group. And it's so much that, you know, we don't want to get over-romanticized about childhood, but childhood tends to be, you know, carefree and just like, I'm hot, I'm cold, and here I am. And those teenage years can be so, you know, as everyone's enjoying their teenage years, they could be so miserable. And because it can be so much about just image and looking good and so fearful, so not trusting of me as an authentic being. And then even if I'm putting on that mask, whether it's a teenager or a 50-year-old, I'm putting on that mask, and you like me, and she likes me, she approves me, and she respects me, it's not satisfying because I'm not putting myself out there. And if I put myself out there, then whether you like, you hate, you're angry, you admire me, you respect me, you love me, you're envious of me, whatever it is, it's really for me. That's life, that's alive. And I think that's such wonderful guidance as a core principle to trust your authentic experience, communicate it so that people get it. And then whatever you get from people, at least it's really for you. At least it's really for you. And I think that's so, I know that's so relevant. Thank you, Gaurav. I've been pleased and honored to to be with Dr. Sajan Allen and our host, Marie Glashine, here at the Controls in Sofitov Studio. Thank you for joining us on the Sofitov Radio Hour. We look forward to joining you next week, the first show of 2011. Also, visit us on the Sofitov website, sofitov.com, www.sofitov.com. This is David Wolf, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the Sofitov Institute Radio Hour, your station for self-realization. Thank you, Gora.
Thank you very much, Marie.